Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, September 10th, 2016. This is episode 1321. 1321. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device. Visit gazelle.com today. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code TECHGUY for 30% off your entire order. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/TECHGUY. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches. I do all that. That list, you know. I guess we have to add to the list virtual reality, exploding smartphones, that kind of thing. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Other places can call via Skype, still be toll free. 8888, ask Leo. Website is techguylabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. Apple had its event on Wednesday. They announced the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus as expected. They also announced a new Apple Watch Series 2, they're going to call it. It's faster. That's it. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's it. Faster, and they didn't announce it, but they did kill the $10,000 solid gold Apple Watch. Guess that wasn't a big seller. Who knew? Actually, I'd be very mad if I were owner of the solid gold Apple Watch because they didn't offer an upgrade of any kind. Even another solid gold watch. It's like, well, you bought that solid gold watch, sucker. I mean, thank you. And that's that. It's not... You didn't want to upgrade it, did you? No. You know, maybe they didn't announce this, but the least they could do, if you ask me, would be, you could do this surreptitiously to all 43 Arab princes that bought the gold watch. You could say, you know, just send them a note saying, hey, if you want, we could just stick the insides of the new watch in your, except I think the new watch is just a little bit thicker. Oh, they do have a high-end one this time, though. It's not gold. They kept the edition. So they have the Sport, which is the least expensive. In fact, the original Apple Watch is now $100 less, $269, putting it almost in the, you know, same price range as a high-end Fitbit. Almost, not quite. They also increased the price of the Series 2. See, the original one was the Series 1. Well, and they're still going to sell the Series 1, but it's going to have a faster processor. The Series 2, faster processor. I'm trying to think, what else? Is there anything new? No. I mean, there's new Watch OS, but I think you get that on all the watches. And then they're going to do an addition. So there's a stainless steel, the Sport, the stainless steel, like it's $650, something like that. And then for $1,300... $1,250 to $1,300, twice as much. You can get one made of ceramic. Now, this is not your mother's China ceramic. This is not the little dolls on your grandmother's shelf ceramic. This is a modern ceramic that's like twice as hard as steel and doesn't scratch ceramic. But, and so watch, by the way, many high-end, I used to have a ceramic wristwatch. I loved it. Many high-end wristwatches are ceramic. It's a prized material among watch aficionados. because it's hard as a rock. It's harder than most stuff. But unaccountably, Apple offered it only in one color, white. Excuse me, but who wears a white watch? Black might have been nice. I've seen black. White? All right. I'm not going to belabor it. Nobody's buying the watch anyway. Sales year over year dropped by more than 50%. So let's talk about the phone, iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. Kind of the same body, but some significant changes. They took away the physical home button, and now it's got a little buzzer behind it. Although the people who played with it, I haven't played with it yet. I'll get mine on Friday. But the people who played with it say, yeah, you know, they did the same thing on the MacBook Air where the button doesn't move, but they simulate a click with a little haptic that pushes like that. And actually on the MacBook, it's amazing. It does fool you. You feel like, oh, wow, that clicked. No, that was just a buzz. But apparently on the phone, it's actually pretty awful. It buzzes the whole bottom of the phone. I haven't tried it. Just quoting what people who've played with it say. They also, they say, courageous move, took the headphone jack away. That was courageous, says Phil Schiller, Apple's marketing chief. He says, in one word, what we've done here is courageous. Okay, I guess that's a kind of courage. It's not like, you know, Navy SEAL courage. It's not like NFL quarterback courage, even. It's more like, I don't know, the courage to double the price of a drug on the market. That kind of courage. It's a economic courage. Like, people might hate this. On the other hand, if they buy into it, we can sell them lots more of those Beats headphones. None of their existing headphones will work anymore. I always sell them a little $9 dongle, but they won't. They'll want the new fast lightning port headphones. And it's not ready yet, but we're going to sell them new wireless headphones called AirPods. That, by the way, AirPods sounds like what milkweed does when it seeds, right? It sends their pods through the AirPods. But no, they look like they're earbuds that look like they're drooling a little. There's a little white drool coming down off of it, like a little icicle. That's the microphone. And both of them have a microphone. But the microphone will aim at your mouth, apparently. Magically will just be, they call it beamforming. It'll go, oh, that's where the sound's coming from. Now, if your neighbor's shouting, that might be bad because it might go, oh, never mind him. What about him? We'll see. They're not out till next month, and they're $169, but they are wireless. And I guess that's the point, because you can't charge the phone, and because your earbuds are on the phone, so you can't listen to the phone. Belkin's selling a nice dongle that would let you charge and listen at the same time. Apparently a lot of people do that, you know, at night and stuff, or at work. They put the phone on a dock and then they listen, but you can't do that anymore. It's also going to put out of business companies that have been in a trade. Because the regular headphone port is an open standard, they've been around for 90 years, and everybody, it's like a keyboard, you know. You know, Apple's right. I mean, it would be courageous to remove the keyboard from your computer. That would be very courageous. But removing the headphone from that, yeah, courage. That's courage. That's courage. You know what real courage would be now, Apple? Why don't you remove the headphone buds from the iPads and the laptops too? Just get rid of them. If it's no good, if you don't need it, just get rid of them. Who needs them? You think they'll do that? I guess they will. We'll see. They didn't announce any new iPads or MacBooks on Wednesday, but I'm guessing they'll do that sometime later this year, maybe in October, an October event. No headphone jack on those. That would show courage. That'd be like the courage of your convictions, right? We believe that the headphone jack is dead and we're going to do everything we can to kill it. You know, I foolishly thought, oh, this might hurt sales. People might look at another phone. And then Samsung decided to announce that the Note 7 blows up and you must bring it back. And many airlines have said you can't fly with it now. And so if I had a Note 7, well, I liked it. It had a headphone jack. Even Samsung said that. We have a headphone jack.
But the exploding feature is kind of a non-starter, so I brought mine back. It was easy. I brought it to T-Mobile. They gave me $850. The money I spent, they just charged it. They said, fine, we'll take it. I said, it's a little scratch. They said, that's all right. It's exploding. We don't want you to have it. They even said, although they did say, now you notice, and I had said this before. I said this on the show, I think. The ones made in China apparently don't have the exploding battery, but I wasn't going to take that chance. And the T-Mobile guy said, I said, are you recommending I not hand it in? He said, no, don't get me wrong, but you don't have to. I said, no, I think I better give you the money. iPhone sales have not suffered. I'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back. And take your calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Courage. 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 Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. I've got courage, but not that much courage. I did send the Note 7 back to its makers. Man, that Samsung says they've sold 2.5 million Galaxy Note 7s. I and many others highly recommended the phone, really liked it. I don't think mine had the problematic battery because it never heated up, even when I quick charged it. It didn't. But who wants to take that chance? And I'm going on vacation in a week, and I'm getting on planes and trains and automobiles and boats. And gosh, I'd hate to be the guy who burned the boat down because I didn't turn in my Note 7. So I turned it in. Problem is, if it's your only phone, which I would guess it is for almost everybody, they don't have a Note 7 to give you. They don't have new Note 7, so you're either going to be without a phone for a few weeks, and Samsung's not saying when the new ones will be out, or you use some lesser phone, like a Galaxy S7, which isn't that much lesser. Frankly, it's very similar. It just doesn't have a stylus and smaller screen, but that's a good phone. I'm lucky enough to have, lucky, I guess, to have a lot of other phones, so I'm not, I said, give me the money. I hear I'm going to be spending a lot of money with Apple this week anyway. And yeah, sure enough, I did. Friday, midnight, Apple's new iPhone 7 and 7 Plus went on sale. And I, like some others, no, I do it for a different reason. I'm not, I would prefer not to spend $1,000 on this phone because, well, I prefer not to. I have a phone. I don't need a new one. But, you know, my job is to talk about these and tell you whether they're good or not. And one thing I can't do is tell you whether it'll explode. That we have to leave till, you know, trial and error. And I apologize for recommending the Note 7. The new iPhone 7. Now, I didn't want the 7, the little one. I wanted the big one because that's the one with the biggest change, the dual cameras. They're going to put two. This is a little strange, but we've seen it before. But Apple's doing something different than we expected, frankly. I had thought, and others have done this with their dual camera phones, that they would use both lenses to gather different information and then combine them to make a better picture. That's not what Apple's doing. Apple's, in effect, giving you two lenses, a wide-angle 28-millimeter lens. If you're used to, you know, 35-millimeter photography, that's a very nice wide-ish lens. Most camera phones are there, about 28. They say the human eye would be about 50 millimeters and, 70 and above is what we call telephoto. You're zooming in on it, you're magnifying it. Apple will have a 28, which is a wide angle, good for, you know, capturing a scene or a building or that kind of thing. It's as wide as you can safely go without adding, like, distortion to the lens. And then the other lens will be effectively double that, 56 millimeters. So they call it telephoto. It ain't. It's zoomed in from a wide angle, but it's really more of what we would call a normal lens or roughly what the eye sees lens. But there'll be a button in your camera app, and you'll press that, and it'll look like it's zooming in by, you know, it's doubling the size. And that's one thing camera phones never have done in the past, is zoomed. Apple's also adding the ability digitally to split the difference, you know, to zoom in between them. But remember, and even past the 56, but remember, digital zoom is just doing it by blowing up pixels. I have to see, and that's one of the reasons I woke up at midnight on Friday. We'll have to see what it looks like in between the 28 and the 56. More than 56 will be digital Zoom. You know what that is. It doesn't look great. And then Apple said, but in a couple of months, we're going to do a software update that will do some more stuff. Okay, fine. That thing where you combine the two lenses stuff. All right, fine. So I got online midnight, as usual. I'm used to this now. We've done this before. You get a couple of browsers going on a couple of different computers. I had one for my carrier T-Mobile, one for the Apple Store. And then you also get your iPad with the Apple Store on it because they have an Apple Store app. And often that's the fastest way. And you keep hitting refresh, at midnight. And I'm in our chat room. And there's, of course, a lot of other people in there watching Twitter, watching all the different feeds to see who's got what. It's kind of fun if you do it that way. It's like a game. 12:08, finally, 8 minutes into that, the Apple Store app comes alive. Boom, boom, yeah. And I had saved exactly what I wanted to get. It didn't remember anything. Didn't even remember my address. So I had to go through the painstaking process. And I noted, the one I wanted is the one that's new, the shiny black one. Right? That's what you should get, the one that looks different. That's why I got a pink phone last year. Can't wait to get rid of the pink. But this year's shiny black. And that's the other, remember, I'm getting these for you, not for me. I'm getting it so that I can tell you about the shiny black. I can tell you about what's new, about the two cameras. Last year I told you about pink.
It's pink.
But then I noted as I'm about to press buy, delivers October 4th. I said, wait a minute. They said September 16th. What do you mean October 4th? Now, I know enough about Apple to say buy anyway, right? Boom. I can cancel that later. So I ordered that. And then I went back and I looked, and you couldn't get anything September 16th, this coming Friday. You couldn't get anything. I think the 7, the littler one you could get, but I need to see the two cameras. it was tough. So I went to AT&T. And I was able to, because I have to have this for you next week. And when we talk about the thing, I have to at least have some time with the new camera and tell you whether it's worthwhile, what the buzz feels like and all that. So I was able to get a gold. Come on, gold, really? That's 2 years old. Get the gold iPhone 7 Plus. It's very much a first world problem, I understand. And I will have that for you review next weekend. And I was hoping to take it on vacation, take a lot of pictures just to see if this new camera looks good. This new camera looks good. But you watch the events that Apple does. They always look good. It always looks, you can't be fooled by the events. Everything looks beautiful, shiny, pretty, new. They're very good. They really, they know how to sell. So that's why you still have to order it and try it and see what it works. So you're welcome. I now have two iPhone 7 Pluses, one coming Friday, one coming October 4th. That's it, though. No more. And we'll find a way to I'm sure someone will want the other iPhone. Not one good thing about buying an iPhone, you can always find somebody who will buy it off of you, right? So I will have some thoughts about it next week. For this week, here's the thing that surprised me, how fast they sold out, especially on the Jet Black. Everything is now out to November if you tried to buy it today. Don't know if they'll have it in the store on the 16th. My guess is not. Apple even warned people. They said, we're not going to give you sales figures from the first weekend. We are not going to give you this weekend sales figures because it's not constrained by demand. We know we won't have enough phones. It's totally constrained by supply. We're going to sell every phone we have, period. But we just don't have phones for everybody who wants one. And I thought, oh, no, with a headphone jack, it's going to be a different story. No. My advice to you, if you don't have a really old iPhone, is probably you can wait on this one. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, I didn't buy 256 gigs. What am I going to do with that? I can't fill 128. Is the trouble worth it? Not for a normal person, no. For me, yeah. Because that's kind of my job, is to get up at midnight, and it's kind of fun. I don't mind doing it. This is the job I picked, right? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Normally, Scott Wilkinson joins us to talk home theater at this time. He's on vacation. He'll be back next week. Meanwhile, we continue on, and actually, that's a good thing because now I get to take some calls. Heather Hammon, the Phone Ranger, is here. Hello, Heather. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I think you had a great week. I don't know why. I feel like you did a lot of fun things this week.
Packed a lot into a short week.
You always do. You always do.
I got to go to Sausalito Art Fest. I think that's
that looked fun with the zombies.
Yes, and I got to get on stage and help announce the band.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I missed it. We were going to go, and then I said, I don't like zombies. I'm so over with. And then I didn't realize it wasn't the Walking Dead zombies. It's the great zombies of the 60s.
But what a great idea for a band.
Yeah, the Walking Dead. Yeah. So who should I talk to first? You've been lining up some great calls here, I see.
Tom in Chicago absolutely warmed my heart with the reason that he needs to know the answer to this question.
Okay. Aw. Should I do a aw? Hi, Tom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, I have to press this button. Hi, Tom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Fine.
Or should I call you Tomas?
Well, you may, but you'd be right. FTC LTL.
FTC LTL. I don't
know. Long-time caller, long-time listener.
FTC LTL. Oh, good. That's good. I like it. We can institutionalize that.
I'm so amazed that Heather got me on as the first caller because I think I insulted her.
Uh-oh. What?
I called her Kim.
Oh, yeah. That's not an insult. We all love Kim.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And Kim normally is here on Saturdays. Kim's doing some sort of party-filled weekend, not even around here, somewhere else. She's at a wedding. Where'd she go?
Wedding.
Where? Yeah, I don't know either. I saw the pictures. It looked like somewhere else. There was a beach involved. Wedding.
Weddings are usually held.
Yeah. Weddings are usually somewhere else. Actually, a lot of weddings are up here in the wine country. We have a lot of weddings up here. Anyway, Tom, that's I'm sure Heather doesn't mind.
Well, I'm glad. She was so nice.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. If I called her Kim, then you're in trouble. Yeah.
The reason I called is in a couple weeks I've got my high school 50th reunion.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm still alive, right? Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, my 40th is not so far off. So yeah, 50th, I know. It comes so fast, doesn't it?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Now, have you been going all along or will be this the first time you've seen them in 50 years?
No. I've gone to everyone we've had, but our class has not been very good at this. We had a 10, and then we missed 20.
Yeah.
So we had a 22. And so because of that, we didn't have a 25. And then we had a 30, and then didn't have a 40. So, it
sounds like your class wasn't so good at math, but that's okay.
Well, yes. So what I'm wondering is, everyone's going to have a cell phone and be taking pictures.
Oh, yes, they are.
But
and thinking, I can't believe how old he looks. My God, do I look that old? That's what you're going to be thinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's funny, people will be thinking that when they see me, too.
Oh, no. Because you don't see. When I look in the mirror, I sometimes gasp. Who's that old man in the mirror? When did that happen?
Yeah. Well, they say that life is like a roll of toilet paper.
They say that?
Yes. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
Okay. That's true. Or a record. But the problem is everybody knows about toilet paper. Is new generation, they've never seen a record.
That's true. That's right. So everyone's going to be taking pictures, probably sending them or uploading them to their Facebook page. But how do we get them all together?
Yeah. So Facebook, I'm pretty sure, has a groups feature. But what I would suggest is there's a couple of ways to do this. A lot of weddings do this now. Hashtags. So if you place all around the reunion the hashtag, Regis 50th or, class of 1956. What is it? No, 1966. If you do class of 1966 or something like that, hashtag. Then if people can put it wherever they want, and you can search for the hashtag itself. That's really what a hashtag is. You know, the number sign. You know, the kids use that, the number sign, followed by some text. Sorry, not sorry. That's really what that is a canned search term, in effect, because you can enter that into Google and make sure it's unique. In fact, class of 66 would not be a good choice, but the high school plus class of 66 would be a good choice. You know, Petaluma High School class of 66 or PHS 66 or something like that. And then people could just search on Google and they would find it wherever it is, Facebook, Twitter, wherever it is. The other thing you can do is you can set up a shared photo album, and there are lots of places you could do that. My favorite is Google. Google's Photos app, which, you know, I've lobbied. Everybody should, whatever your camera phone, everybody should have one, have the Google Photos app on there. Then you can create what's called a shared album. This is easiest if you know people's email ahead of time, which somebody does, the class secretary does. You can send an email out to everybody inviting them to the shared album and saying, please, if you take a great picture, share this to the album, and it'll be available and visible to everybody who's got the email. So that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I don't know off the top of my head if Facebook has groups. Does Facebook, somebody will tell me in the chat room, I'm not a Facebook expert. Does Facebook have let me see, I'm going to create an album. Can I share an album? That's what you really want. I bet you can. But the hashtag thing is awesome because the other thing you can do in Facebook, if you tag people's faces, then those people in the picture will be notified that picture exists. So that's kind of an automated feature that's built into Facebook, that if you tag somebody's picture, they'll get a notification saying, oh, hey, look at this. Tom just tagged you. And then they'd be able to see that.
We would tag them. It's not an automatic face recognition.
Yeah, no, Facebook could do that. And they certainly, when you start typing in, they know who it is. So they kind of say, oh, you mean? So they know, but they don't want to, for privacy purposes, they don't want to do that automatically. So,
they'll think I'm in disguise with all my wrinkles.
They'll recognize you. They're pretty good. They can recognize a wide variety of, you know, the way they do it. Most of the face recognition stuff I know of is not like saying like we do. We look at a picture, go, oh yeah, there's Tom. They measure the interpupillary distance. There's certain things that are unique about the geometry of your face and don't change once you're an adult. So the relationship of the pupils to the tip of the nose, for instance, or the edge of the mouth and that kind of thing. And they're able to do a pretty good job, like a fingerprint, of identifying faces based on the geometry of the face, which means wrinkles probably don't get in the way. My favorite is Google Albums. There are many other sites offer that kind of shared album. That's not an unusual thing at all.
Well, thanks a lot. I sure appreciate it.
Have a great reunion. When is it? Is it coming soon?
Yes, it's coming, actually, on October the 1st.
Great. Have a great time.
Thanks. Can I talk to you about one other thing?
Sure.
And that is, I want to thank you for years ago, you suggesting that people join a Mac user group.
Yes.
Or Mugs.
It didn't work, but
it did here. I mean, I joined our local one, which was called
Your Trial. User group is such a benefit, and they're aging out because people don't do it anymore, and it really is a great place to get resources, kind of like this show. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Give me that Facebook help page link again. We could put that in the show notes. I don't know what... Thank you, Scooter. How do I? Oh yeah, Facebook lets you create shared albums. Go to an album you created, click the shared album, enter the names of the contributors, select an audience. Perfect. Perfect. So you do have shared albums similar to Google. It makes sense. I'm sure that there was something like this. So, you know, it's funny. A7 saying in the chat room, "I'm 29. My high school scrapped the 10th reunion due to lack of participation." Because of Facebook. I don't need to come. I know everybody on Facebook.
I see what you guys are up to.
Isn't that funny? Leo Laporte,
the tech guy.
8888 ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Robert in Rockford. Hello, Robert. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. You are my hero.
Oh, I hope I can be your hero.
You absolutely are. I'll tell you why after. I've had some adventures getting dropped calls on hold, so I want to get my question in real quick.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I, she has the Apple 6, iPhone 6. I've got the 6 Plus, okay. And we're interested in getting the new 7.
Now's the time. If you had a 6S, I would say, not a lot. But yeah. And particularly for you, if you want to get another Plus, because the biggest difference is in the Plus is that camera.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love the touch with the deep touch and all that sort of stuff.
You mean the 3D touch. But you have that, don't you, on the 6? Oh, no, I guess you didn't.
No.
Okay, yeah. No, that's a... No. That, I have mixed feelings on that because, you know how when in an iPhone you hold an icon to make it, to delete it, you hold it till it jiggles, and then you delete it?
Right.
With 3D touch, it's easy to accidentally do a 3D touch instead of hold till it jiggles. You have to kind of retrain your mind. And even today, I still go, rats. You can't press too hard when you do the jiggle. So,
right.
And not a lot of apps yet support it, although more and more do. But like I just looking, Facebook does now, Twitter does now. Of course, all the Apple apps do. Even Pokemon Go does. So, yeah, maybe it's time for the 3D touch maybe is taken over. But I think the biggest difference you'll notice is the camera. And I should mention, the jump in processor speed from your 6 and 6 Plus to the new 7 and 7 Plus is 60% faster. So you will notice that.
That's huge.
That's a giant jump. This is one area where Apple has dusted the competition. The iPhone processors, because Apple does, they're ARM processors, but they have more than 1,000 engineers working on them. They design processors that's just beat the pants off the Qualcomm processors that Android phones use. So a big difference. And a lot more RAM than your phone, So I think you'll like them. So what can I do to be your hero? It dropped. Darn it. Let me see if Heather wrote down his question. Oh, what's the best way to buy it? That's a good question. So you have two ways to buy it. In a way, three ways to buy it. You can buy it from your existing carrier. And, at this point, by the way, since you didn't buy it at 12:08 on Friday morning, you're going to be waiting six weeks. You'll be getting your phone in what they say now is November.
I might be back.
Oh, you are back. Welcome back.
Hey,
we missed you
there for a second. me too. So here's my big question.
Yes. You need a new phone, dude. You just dropped again. Oh man, talk about a tease. Here's my question. So you can get it from your carrier. I said there were three ways. You can get it from Apple, but there's two ways to get it from Apple. You can buy it outright, and Apple now has this new phone every year thing where you pay a monthly fee, which is, according to my calculations, about two-thirds of the price of the phone outright. Not half, but two-thirds. And then you get a new phone every year. So you are paying more than if you bought it outright. But on the other hand, you get a new iPhone every year. And you may want that. This would be the year to do it because next year's iPhone will be the 10th anniversary iPhone. And the common wisdom, however wise that might be, is that Apple's going to really throw out all the stops on this next iPhone, the iPhone 8, or whatever they call it, the iPhone 10th anniversary. I'm not sure that's true. I don't know what they could do, to be honest with you. You're running out of ideas at this point. We tech journalists call it peak phone. We're as good, it's hard to think of what you could do to make a major improvement. A lot of technologies get that way. They get mature, and then it's kind of, it's a glass slab with these functions and so forth. But I'm sure Apple will find something. They certainly do improve the processors, and they do improve the camera every time. You got to think about, do I care about losing the headphone jack? What I'm going to do is, the good news is Apple is not overcharging for the headphone jacks. They're the adapters, rather. They're $9. So I'm going to buy like 10 of them. $90, I know. But hey, if you own an iPhone, you're used to spending money. $90 out the door. But then I'll just attach them to all my headphones. I'll strew them around the office and at home. Then I'll never be, always be able to say, oh, I need another adapter. So that's going to end up what happens. That's what happens whenever they make a big change like that. The bigger issue is you can't charge and listen at the same time, but wireless is going to solve that. So the three places are your carrier or Apple, and then there's two different ways to buy it at Apple outright. Now, if you buy from Apple, they're still going to ask you who your carrier is, and this is something to keep in mind. If it's AT&T, Verizon, or Sprint, they're going to verify that you have an account with that company. Which is, that's how this works. And in the case of, and this is unproven because the phones aren't out yet, but this is how it was last year. In the case of Sprint and AT&T, those phones will be carrier locked. You will have to use it with Sprint or AT&T. The Verizon phones, Verizon is unable to carrier lock their SIM chips because of a deal they made with the FCC, a consent decree. So the Verizon phones are effectively unlocked, even though you still have to verify your account. You have to have an account and all that. The T-Mobile phones are the true unlocked ones. They don't seem to verify your account, and you could use a chip from any company in the T-Mobile phone, I think. But that's a projection based on last year. I don't know what's going to happen this year. Nobody's received a phone yet. We'll know next weekend. So that's the question is, and that's why you may want to get it from your carrier. If it comes down to lines and like, now we lost him for sure. So if it comes down to lines at the store, again, this is based on previous years. There's always a line at the Apple store until it opens because Apple fans are, an interesting breed, and I've done it many years. I've waited in line. I don't do it anymore. I just order it, and they FedEx it to you that day. But what often happens is, and I don't know what's going to happen this year. You can walk in the store later without a line. Just go in at noon. But now avoid lunch. Go in at 11. They'll have finished selling to the line, and they may have phones left at that point. In which case, you walk in, buy a phone, and walk out. They may even have the phone you want, but they may not. That's the real problem. That's one of the reasons people get in line is there's a phone they really want, the 256 gig Jet Black of 7 Plus. That's, by the way, going to be the hardest one to get. The new color and the new memory size, 256. That's going to be, I would guess, and maybe then the next one will be 128. But those high capacity new color ones, generally the ones to go first. If what you want is a 32 gigabyte iPhone 7, you probably can walk in at 11 a.m. on next Friday and just say, I'll take one. If it's not jet black, if it's, gold. That's why I have gold. I have a gold phone. I don't want a gold phone. That's so 2 years ago. That's so iPhone 6. But that's okay because that's what was left. Now, your carrier, sometimes there's an exception with carriers. It's unpredictable. Sometimes they get five phones, but there's no line. So, especially if you live in a small town. So, sometimes you can luck out by going to a carrier store. You might go in the day before and ask them, how many do you think you're going to have? Should I get in line? What's your expectation? If you get a friendly clerk there, they might tell you what to expect. So, that's all. That's everything I know. And again, it's different every year. There's different parameters, but that's generally how it works. Our show today brought to you, speaking of disposing, you don't want to throw out an old phone. That's not considered a good form. But at the same time, if you do as I did for years, put it in a drawer, it's like taking $100 bills, crumpling them up and throw them in the door, letting them get dust. All that stuff is valuable. And that's why Gazelle is such a great resource. It's an online marketplace where you can sell your old phones. In fact, this is a really good time when the new iPhones come out. This is the time. You can just get that new iPhone and subsidize it by selling the old iPhone at gazelle.com. They make it so easy, so much so that you can actually get a direct quote from them that's guaranteed for 30 days right now if you go to gazelle.com. It's also a great time to buy at Gazelle, the cream of the crop, the cherry stuff they get back, they offer for resale after a very rigorous 30-point inspection. Make sure everything's functional. There's no, you know, major scratches and flaws. And there will be a flood of iPhone 6s and 6s pluses, iPads, Galaxy phones as well. In fact, it'd be a good place to go get a Galaxy phone to temporarily replace your Note 7. Gazelle. They provide financing when you buy a device at Gazelle from a firm. You could do it right at checkout. Very quick and easy. They also offer 12-month warranties through Assurant Solutions for cell phones and iPads that cover not just the usual, but cracked screens, water damage, hardware defects. I love Gazelle. It's a great place to go to trade, to sell, and to buy. Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. And, you know, never any carrier contract. They sell devices that work on all the major carriers in the U.S. It's a really good solution. Gazelle.com. Sell your gadgets and buy, too, the fast and easy way at Gazelle. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and a lot about the Samsung Note 4 or Note 7 today and a lot about the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus today. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Looks like what happened there, Heather? Did all the calls go away all of a sudden? What happened?
Yeah, we need you to do a monologue again.
The phones broke. All right, I can talk. Gosh knows, I have no problem talking. We're restarting it. Okay. So if you're on the line, call back. I see phones ringing, so we'll see. We'll figure out what happens here. So lots of confusion, by the way. And I'm part of the cause of that confusion about which phone to get. I mean, the best thing to do would be to either buy it from your if you're buying the iPhone, if you either buy it from your carrier, then you know it'll work with your carrier, or buy it from Apple for your carrier. The T-Mobile phones are unlocked. The Verizon and Sprint phones apparently do have CDMA radios still in them. But because both carriers use LTE for voice as well as data these days, you should be able to use them on other networks. Sprint will lock the SIM card slot, however. Verizon is not allowed to. The FCC ruled that they can't as a punishment. So Verizon's a very good choice if you want to work on every network because it has a CDMA radio and it has an LTE slot that's unlocked. T-Mobile's also good. I don't see any reason why T-Mobile wouldn't work on Sprint or Verizon, but I would check to make sure. It's certainly unlocked for T-Mobile and AT&T. Now, apparently, somebody in the chat room is telling me, and this I don't think this was the case in the past, that the AT&T phone is also carrier unlocked. The only exception to all of these carrier locking rules is if you finance the phone through your carrier. So if you use the AT&T Next program, for instance, and you're paying a monthly fee, your phone will be locked. If you finance through T-Mobile, your phone will be locked. It's called carrier locking. And it just means you can't take a SIM card from another carrier and put it in your phone and have it work. The phone will say, oh, this isn't a T-Mobile SIM. Nuh-uh. Generally, you want unlocked, but it does require you pay a lot of money out of pocket. These are not cheap phones. They start at $650, and Apple's very happy to tell you that. But that's for the 32-gigabyte iPhone 7, the smallest. And if you end up getting the biggest, the 256-gigabyte iPhone 7 Plus, a lot closer to $1,000. I think it's $969. When you get tax, it's going to be over $1,000. So these are not inexpensive. This is probably the most expensive computer you own. But it's also the computer you use the most, at least most of us use the most. It's complicated. There are also rules, and the chat room's reminding me of this. All the carriers have rules about unlocking a phone. Once you've paid it off or you've had it in good standing for a certain period of time, typically 60 days, AT&T and T-Mobile will unlock your phone. I'm guessing you can bring your phone. For instance, I'm traveling overseas. I would like to have my AT&T, my new AT&T iPhone 7 Plus unlocked. So I'm guessing I could go to AT&T and say, could you unlock it for a few weeks so I could use a SIM from another country? So it's complicated. I mean, you might ask the store, whether it's the carrier store or the iPhone, the Apple store, and see what they say. Although my experience with them is they're as confused as we are. A lot of people asking, should you turn in your Note 7? We just had somebody in studio who flew here from Cincinnati. Dennis and his wife were here. They're just visiting, and he had a Note 7, which, by the way, love the Galaxy Note 7. It's a nice, nice, nice phone. Beautiful phone. Gorgeous phone. But it has this, some, at least, have exploded. So the question, the reasonable question you might ask is, will my phone explode? And the problem is, it's very hard to know. It turns out, according to Samsung, only 1 in 32,000 phones sold have the bad battery. This is what's going on. Lithium ion batteries, the batteries in your laptops and your phones, even, frankly, the batteries in your electric cars and cameras, they're all made out of lithium ion these days. And unfortunately, with lithium ion, this is a volatile compound inside. If you were, for instance, to open up your phone and then take the protective cover off of the battery and then poke it, it would burst into flames. That's why you don't want to puncture your phone. Furthermore, these lithium ion batteries can do the same if they're overcharged. They get hot. As they charge, they get hot. They get too hot. Then they burst into flames. And because they're in very closed quarters inside your phone and essentially sealed, well, what happens when something gets really, really hot and bursts into flame in a very, very tightly enclosed container? It explodes and sprays volatile chemicals, bits of battery, and pieces of metal all in the area. This is what happened to those hoverboards. Remember, the poorly manufactured hoverboards. A well-manufactured battery, lithium-ion battery, has circuitry in it to protect this, to prevent this over. If you look at, don't take apart your lithium-ion battery. There are videos on YouTube if you want to see what happens. There are videos on YouTube you can see. Do not take it apart. But at the very top of most lithium-ion batteries, there's circuitry that does a few things. It senses the temperature. There's actually a fuse that will blow if it gets too hot. There's also overcharging protection built into that circuitry. The phone also, at the charge port, has overcharging protection. There's a lot of protective circuitry in these phones to keep them from blowing up. And it usually works. But I don't know if you remember, but Apple had problems with phones blowing up. If they had the wrong cable, they were cheap replacement cables and perhaps cheap replacement power bricks. And they were a number of iPhones. I think this was a couple of years ago, so they might have been iPhone 5s or earlier, but that blew up. So this can happen to, you know, any device if the circuitry isn't proper. That's why you don't want to buy kind of cheap third-party lithium-ion batteries, because you don't know. Apparently what Samsung did is they had been buying their batteries from a Chinese company that was doing a great job. This year, for the first time ever, they started making their own batteries for some of the phones. Those are the batteries that blow up or catch on fire. Only 1 in 32,000 phones, but they've sold 2.5 million. You have to do the math, but that means that there are thousands of phones that could blow up. 35, Samsung said 35 had blown up as of September 1st. I don't know if more have since. You've certainly seen the videos on TV and on YouTube. The poor fellow whose Jeep burnt to the ground. Airlines now are saying, our friend Dennis, who just flew out from Cincinnati, said the airline said, do not put, you have a Note 7? Okay, dude, do not put it in your checked luggage. Not allowed. That's what you really don't want, is a flame and a fire in the hold of an airplane. So you have to bring it in your carry-on, and you must not charge it while you're on the plane. And so what that tells you, and this is actually, I'm sure, true, is that the phones don't just spontaneously combust. They combust when they're being charged. And so the problem is it's hard to know. I've read the Wall Street Journal said that these batteries are not appearing in any Samsung phones made in China. My T-Mobile phone was made in China. In fact, as I said, when I brought it back, the T-Mobile sales guy said, well, you know, this one's probably okay. I said, are you recommending I not turn it in? He said, no. He did not want to take responsibility. They gave me a full refund, no questions asked. It was a very easy thing to do. I think without a doubt, you should do this. The problem is then you're stuck without a phone until they get a replacement to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I mean, Dell and Toshiba have also recalled batteries. Dell had the same problem. These lithium-ion batteries are risky. This chemistry is dangerous. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 2.5 million Samsung Galaxy Note 7s sold. 2.5 million. And Samsung's going to take them all back. It's estimated that they'll take $1.5 billion charge. This will cost a lot of money. So Samsung's saying right now a couple of things. That first of all, exchange it. That's my advice. Do it. They will give you a loaner phone until they get you a safe Note 7, so you don't have to give up your Note 7. Or you can trade it in for an S7, which is a great phone. But if you like the bigger phone and you like the stylus, and I do, just take the loaner phone, and it's expected in a couple of weeks Samsung will get new phones out. The new phones, they are going to apparently have a database. Publish a database where you can check your IMEI number and see if you have an affected phone. And the new phones will have a sticker with an S on it for safe. So you'll know if you're getting a safe phone. I think this hurt a couple of things. It hurts Samsung for sure, especially since, you know, they rushed to get the Note 7 out before the iPhone 7 came out. And now it turns out, I think a lot of people are going to go back to their carrier, say, well, just give me the money back and give me an iPhone, and, you know, I'll buy an iPhone 7. I bet you that happens. I wouldn't be surprised. It could have gone the other way, you know, if the Note 7 were really doing great and people looked at the iPhone 7 and said, well, it doesn't have a headphone jack. The Note 7 does. It's a bigger screen in a smaller package. I think I'm going to go for the Note 7. But now you don't have that option. There's also a lingering impact. Just a little bit of skittishness now, I think people will have, not just about the Note 7, but all rechargeable devices, right? First with the hoverboards, they actually banned in the United States. We have one of the Chinese hoverboards in our house, and I won't let my son charge it. I said, okay, if you're going to charge it, first of all, we're going to charge it outside, and you can only do it when you're around and looking at it, watching it. Which means he never uses it anymore. You know, I didn't take a chance with the Note 7, even though I was pretty sure that this was not affected because it was made in China. I was pretty sure that meant it was okay. But why take a chance? Especially if you're planning to get on a plane, or be anywhere where, you know, I'm going on a cruise next week. I would have to charge it on the boat. I don't want to be the guy that set the boat on fire. You don't want to be that guy. So I had to send it back, which makes me sad because I think it's a really great phone. This phone will never recover from this. But kudos to Samsung because I think they're doing everything right. The Consumer Reports last week criticized them for not going to the CPSC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and doing an official recall. But they are doing that now. So they've done everything right. They've really and at a great, you know, expense to their reputation and to the bottom line, but that's what you have to do. When something like this happens, that's what you have to do. So I'm actually, I think this is encouraging that they did this. Still makes people kind of nervous. Thing to understand, I drive a car that's got about a ton of lithium ion batteries underneath me, a Tesla. And in fact, they had a problem. Tesla had a problem early on with the undercarriage getting punctured and bursting into flames. So they built a titanium, unpuncturable titanium shield on the bottom of the car to prevent that. But I have to point out, anytime you store a lot of energy in a small place, whether it's gasoline, hydrogen, alcohol, or lithium ion, there's always going to be the risk that that energy will be released suddenly instead of over trickled out over time. It's safe if it trickles out. Any sudden release of a lot of energy, that's called an explosion. That's called bursting into flame. So I would say that any technology that is going to have the energy to keep these devices running for any length of time, like a day, is going to have some risk involved. I don't know if there's something else will come along that's safer. I'm sure something else will come along that's safer, but I don't see it, you know, in the out there. So I think we're still waiting for the phones to work. I'm just checking here, Heather. Are we still phone-less?
Yeah, we're doing a workaround, and I'll use Google Hangouts to get the callers.
Yeah, I saw that. That'll work for me.
Should be 2 seconds.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. You know, Leo can talk for hours without any interaction at all. It's just, that's part of the job. Anybody who's ever worked overnights in radio knows what that's all about. Talk radio in the middle of the night, you better be able to talk for a long time. Long, long time. Anyway, we will continue to take your calls as soon as the phone systems get working at 8888 Ask Leo, 888-827-5536. And we will put all the information I've gleaned now, quite a bit, thanks to the chat room, on the Samsung Exchange program, on the compatibilities of the iPhone 7s. We'll put that all on our website, techguylabs.com. techguylabs.com. You know, the last thing you want to do if you're a big company, the last thing you want to do is schedule an announcement the day of an Apple announcement, right? That's just going to eat up all the attention of the tech press. Unfortunately, Sony and Dell both had announcements on Wednesday. Did you read anything about them? Dell announcement was a simple one. They just announced the completion of their acquisition of EMC. Probably doesn't affect anybody, unless you have stock in one of the two companies. In fact, Dell's going to have to fire a number of people that overlap. But this is the largest tech acquisition in history, announced last October, a year ago, for $67 billion. EMC makes storage systems, big enterprise storage systems. And, of course, Dell loves being in that business, the business of business computing. So we'll see how that works for Dell, but already 3,000 Dell employees laid off. At least 2,000, but it looks like 3,000, as many as 3,000 will be laid off because of that. Unfortunately, the sad story is Dell is also requesting 5,000 H-1B visas. And you know what those are? Those are to bring in foreign workers to take those jobs. Ooh, I hate it when that happens. Sony's announcement, interesting to gamers for sure. Sony has released two new PlayStation 4s. This was expected. They're releasing the PlayStation Slim any day now. That's basically just a slimmed-down version of the existing PlayStation 4. If you're a console gamer, you probably use a PlayStation 4. Sony has scooped everybody now. Nintendo and Microsoft, and is the dominant console game platform. They also announced next month they'll be shipping what was codenamed Neo, a new, faster, better, but completely compatible PlayStation 4. And I imagine that's when the PlayStation virtual reality set will arrive as well. That should be very interesting. That's not, though, till next month. All right, we'll take a break, see if we can get the phones working. We'll come back right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Johnny Jett is here. He's our world traveler. He's housebound right now. Housebound because any day now, in the next couple of weeks anyway, right, you're going to have a baby. Your wife's going to do the work.
That's right.
Congratulations.
I think it's going to be the next week.
Soon?
Yeah, I think maybe next weekend. We'll see.
Now, do you know the gender of your future child?
Sure do. It's a boy.
It's a boy. How exciting.
Yeah.
And are you going to name him Johnny Jet Jr.? Because that would be a really good name.
I don't think that one's going to fly.
Literally. Okay. Okay. Good. Well, you'll let us know when the day arrives. Okay. Don't tell anybody. By the way, we made the mistake when my firstborn was in utero of asking around, you know, saying, hey, we're thinking of this name.
Oh, no.
Never do that.
We're not. No.
I asked my mom. I said, we were thinking of Clara, which I think is a beautiful name, Clara. And she said, no, that reminds me of Clarabelle the Clown, a character played by former Captain Kangaroo actor Bob Keeshan on the Howdy Doody program. Now, had we named her Clara, I don't think anybody of us, of anything younger than 80, would remember that. But sure. But Mom didn't want it, so that was that on Clara. So don't tell anybody ahead of time.
I made the mistake of telling my sister what the name is going to be.
Yeah.
And then at the baby shower, she brought out a cake and said the baby's name on the cake. And then she took an Instagram and posted it. I was whoa. Now we have to change the name.
Did you?
Well, we'll see.
Now, of course, tech guy advice, check the name and see if you can get it on the internet. You know, you want the .com, you want the email, you want to get all that stuff.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's good advice. But we already did it.
Good. All right. Let's get to the travel. What do you got for us?
You know, I was going to talk about the Galaxy 7 Note ban.
Oh, yeah. You can't bring that on a plane anywhere now, right?
Well, they still haven't made it. The FAA has just been advising the airlines.
Some airlines, mostly Australian airlines, have banned it.
Australians, Qantas and Virgin Australia.
Yeah.
But my buddy last night tweeted saying that United made a gate announcement saying you cannot bring this phone on board. So that's I'm sure next week they're going to put the ban in effect. But the problem is, how do you enforce it?
Yeah, you don't know. You'd have to search people. Yeah.
They can't. I mean, and you know there's going to be dopes out there that – you know, are not paying attention or they're just going to, you know, forget it. My phone's not going to do
it. Well, it's not going to burst into flame. You got to I don't think anybody's saying it burst into flame at any time other than when it's being charged. Yeah. So but maybe that's not the case. You know, I mean, if it could have a short, if there's a short in there, it could. So we don't know what's going on. And Samsung hasn't really been forthright about what's the problem. However, if you've got a Note 7, don't hold on to it. Bring it back to the store, please.
And this was, you know, this battery problem was what happened with the 787s, you know, where Boeing, you know,
that's right. They had 3 months. They were grounded for 3 months.
You know, this was the plane of the decade or maybe even century.
They had rechargeable batteries in the plane.
For sure. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a serious problem.
Yikes.
But that's a whole nother story. Let's just get into some good stuff like a website and an app. So actually, this URL is so long that I can't even say it. So I tweeted it and I put it in the chat room.
Okay.
You can put it on your website.
I'll look at the tweet.
It's a Hotspots newsletter, which anyone who's traveling overseas or does business overseas, you know, they should definitely sign up for it. It's free. This one's actually – they change sponsors all the time. Right now it's United Healthcare. But it's a daily newsletter during the week, and they tell you all the – everything that's going on, if there's a hurricane, if there's protests, if there's a holiday, public holiday, and it does it for the next 10 days. So you know when you're going to this country in advance, too, you know, if there's going to be a holiday going on, there's a bank holiday. And that's important for a lot of people who are trying, you know, some people are trying to change money the old way. But anyway, it's a very helpful newsletter, and I've subscribed to it for years. And I'm not even sure how I got it because I think it's an industry thing, but.
Uh-oh. Johnny's frozen on the Skype. This is the United Healthcare Hotspots newsletter. I bet you if you Googled United Healthcare Hotspots newsletter, you would be able to find it that way. But in any event, let's see if we can get Johnny back. Boy, nothing's working today. One of the things about being the tech guy is you always use bleeding edge tech, right? Our phone system is voice over the internet. Johnny's on Skype. None of it works. None of it's working. if we can get Johnny, we're trying to get Johnny back right now. If we can get him back, we will. Ah, he's on the hotline. That was the phone ringing. All right. Are you there? Are you there, John?
I'm here. Sorry about that. My phone just gave me the blue screen. Your PC ran into a problem.
Oh!
Of course.
You know, thank you, Microsoft, for bringing back the blue screen of death. I miss that.
Unbelievable. Luckily, I've learned to put your hotline on redial. Call back.
Hey, phone is just as good as Skype. So, so it's the United Healthcare Hotspots newsletter. By the way, easiest way to get this link, besides following Johnny on Twitter, at Johnny Jett, is to go to his website, johnnyjett.com, because he's got an article about it right there and everything that's in it.
Now, it's a really helpful newsletter, and we talked about that UK one that you subscribed to.
I still do, yeah, the UK alerts from the government, the UK government.
Sure.
Hello? Did you drop the phone?
This is Jack.
No, I don't want Jack. Oh, Lord. Hold on, Jack. I'm sorry. Hey, at least the show is not bursting into flames spontaneously and exploding. Somehow Jack took over for Johnny. Hang on, Jack, because that means if the fact that I hear you is a good sign, it means that something is now working in the world. And boy, we like that. Jack Jett. Maybe that's going to be his boy's name. I don't know. Jackie Jett. I might be wrong, but I'm thinking that Johnny Jett might not be John's actual name. That might be a stage name. I'm just thinking. All right. We got him back? All right. I knew we would. Hey, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know. That wasn't mine.
Wasn't you. No. I'm not. I don't know what happened. It just happened. Sometimes these things just happen. Do you have an app for us today?
I do. So, you know, last week I briefly mentioned Postmates. And
yes.
You were like, oh, my God. So I never talked about it
before.
It's
great for pregnant women who are on bed rest. They can get anything.
Women, it's travelers that it's great for. So, you know, if you're in a hotel,
oh,
they do not have room service.
Yeah.
Or better yet, you want real local food instead of hotel food, which is
great idea.
Typically really bad.
Now, is Postmates everywhere, or where are they?
No, you know what? I don't have my notes in front of me, but they're in over 50 cities.
They're in, oh my gosh, yeah, all over Arizona, Northern California, Southern California, Colorado, D.C., Florida. They are a lot of places. Okay. In the U.S., but boy, if you're, you know, if you're stuck in a Kansas Overland Park hotel in Kansas, and you want some great KC chili, you call Postmates.
Well, or I mean, also if you're overseas, you know, in the major cities, there are other companies that are
similar.
Like,
yeah,
Postmates. I mean, there's Uber Eats here too.
Right.
So I mean, there's a variety of companies. You don't just have to use these guys. But
look for a delivery company. Now, Postmates doesn't have deals with restaurants. They just go to a restaurant and get it, right?
Correct. So you're not getting a special deal.
No, but that's fine. That means it's not limited. I can get something at any restaurant.
You can get it from any store. I was just looking in my neighborhood.
Nice.
I could go to any fast food. I could go to any grocery store.
If I want Skyline Chili, I can get it. JohnnyJett.com, at Johnny Jett on Twitter. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Dun. 88 ask Leo. I do believe the phones, are working according to my phone, because that's how Heather's contacting me now. Let's see here. Let's go to line. Well, now, see, I don't know where Jack and Jacinto. What line is Jack and Jacinto on, Heather? Do you know? I don't know what line to take.
Line one.
Oh, that's easy. Thank you. Hi, Jack. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Hey, listen, Leo, I have a question about a car antenna. I drive a Ford Transit, which is a very tall van, and my garage door has a low overhang, and the antenna is mounted to the roof at the top of the windshield, and the van fits in, but not the antenna.
Yeah, I see a lot of times people have a whip antenna. A lot of hams do this. That on a spring, and then they tie it to the back of the vehicle, so it's no higher than the height of the roof. But you get a longer antenna that way. So that's one.
Right, but the mounting stub with the spring on it is too tall.
Even that's too tall. Oh, well, yeah. Cause, so yeah. You're saying the transit's antenna mount is on the roof or near the roof line?
It's near the roof line.
Oh, that's terrible.
The windshield. Now, no. You can buy stubby antennas, and I bought two of them so far, and they don't work worth a coat. And I thought about relocating the antenna, but that's rewiring the car.
No, yeah, you can't. You don't want to do that. I like those. How do you like that transit, by the way?
I love it.
Aside from this.
It fits all my...
You know, increasingly, we're going to see fewer and fewer cars with radios. Don't tell the radio stations this. With radios at all. The electric cars don't come with AM radios because there's too much noise for the AM radio. My electric car has a FM radio. But I think Tesla assumes if you're crazy enough to buy a Tesla, you probably know a little bit about, you know, internet broadcasting. So they provide you with a Slacker account and a TuneIn radio account in the car, and then you're expected to use that. And, of course, the car comes with an LTE connection. More and more cars are coming with built-in internet connections, and I think increasingly that's what you're going to see. There's a negative to that, of course, which is you can easily get to a part. There are many parts in this country where there is no LTE connectivity, where there's no cell connectivity. Radio did serve many of those areas. But, you know, LTE may not. I don't know if I've listened to the radio. You know when I listen to the radio? When there's big news, breaking news. And when the tech guy's on, of course. So I think I don't hear him anymore. So I'm going to try another line, but I have a feeling that whatever happened before has happened again, Heather. I hate to say it. But let's see. If I can go to line two. Ah, I can. Hi. This would be David in Apple Valley. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, David.
How you doing? Let me speak fast before I go away mysteriously.
Okay.
Okay, this is what I have. I need your help. I need your help of a team, of anyone that can actually assist me with this.
Okay.
I upgraded to the Windows 10. I went to Office 2016 395. All of a sudden, I'm unable to open up any Excel or Word sheet that comes over to me without having save the attachment, enter the properties, check the unblock, and then be able to see it. Anything that comes to me is actually corrupt. Is there a way to fix this? Does anyone have the magic touch to get this done?
So there's a reason for this. You're using Outlook, Microsoft Outlook?
That is correct.
Yeah. Attachments are the most dangerous thing on a PC today. Many attachments contain malware. The worst kind of malware is, of course, ransomware, which scrambles your hard drive and then asks you for money to see your data again. But I say that's the worst. That's the worst for you, but there may even be worse kinds. Remember Sony and the Sony Pictures Entertainment hack, and somebody got into the Sony system and was able to take all their data and send it out, and it's so embarrassing for Sony and for Sony executives, some of whom lost their jobs, Hollywood stars who were mightily embarrassed, executives who were embarrassed about what they said about their stars. This was horrible for Sony Pictures Entertainment, and you know how the hack happened? Via an email attachment. The hospital in Southern California that couldn't access its records because they were encrypted. Email attachment. The number one way people get affected these days is email attachments. And that's why Microsoft Outlook now is doing exactly what you just described, which is you can't just open them. You have to jump through some hoops. And that's to save you, in theory. Now, I'm going to have to look and see if there's ways to turn that off. There might be. But Outlook in general is blocking attachments to protect you. If you don't use Outlook, if you use another email program, many don't do that. I'm not sure that's a good idea, but that's one way to do it, is not use Outlook to get your email. Presumably your email's on a server somewhere. You can use a browser, webmail, or you can use a different email client. There's a free one called Thunderbird that works very well on Windows. And then Office shouldn't block it it's the email program that's blocking it. But if Office is blocking it, yeah. But this is not uncommon nowadays. And I, you may be able to, I'll have to look. I don't use Outlook. I gave up on Outlook a long time ago. But if you look in Outlook, there may be a setting that you can say, turn the security down. Now, if you work in a business, it's very likely that that was turned on by your IT department. So you'd want to consult them because this is a big problem. A lot of companies paying a heavy price because their employees open email attachments at work. We call it spear phishing. You've heard of phishing attacks where you get an email that's supposedly your bank or your husband or, you know, somebody you know. And it says, you know, something that scares you. Log into your bank. There's been foreigners have been accessing it. And you, oh, my gosh, you click the link in the email and you go to a web page. It looks just like the bank's. And you enter your login and something goes wrong. What you didn't realize is you just gave your precious bank login to bad guys. That's called a phishing attack. Spear phishing is targeted phishing. And that's how Sony got attacked, is emails that are aimed at employees of a company. It's not so hard for a hacker to do some research and figure out who works where, what department, who that person's boss is, and then send an email with an Excel spreadsheet. I put, you didn't see the air quotes, but there's air quotes there, an Excel spreadsheet from the boss saying, Simpson, fix this spreadsheet. I need it in 10 minutes. And you go, oh my goodness, and you hit it and you open it and you've just not only infected your computer, but the entire corporate network has been brought down. And so many IT departments block this stuff too. Email attachments, bad idea. So I forgot, I didn't mention the car antenna thing. Let me loop around to that one. I don't know. I'm not an expert on analog electronics. You know, I have a ham license and I know a little bit about antennas, but what I don't know is, and maybe somebody listening can help, are there car antennas that don't protrude up but maybe are flexible enough to protrude sideways? And where would we go to get that? Is there a car antenna warehouse? You get online at 8888-ASK-LEO. You can go to the website at techguylabs.com or visit us in the chat room. But if you have an answer, I'd love to know. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Hey, I want to talk about the tracker. You know, I keep a tracker. This is going to be great when I travel. Do you lose your keys? Everybody does, right? Or remote control. Everybody's got something that gets misplaced in their life. The tracker was created to help you find those things. Keys are the obvious ones, but you could actually, the tracker is now small enough, you could actually put it on a pet. Here, I'll show you where I keep mine. So I keep my keys chained to my bag, and I keep my tracker on my keys. So really, I'm being cheap, but not a bad idea. This is the tracker. It is about the size of a quarter. Weighs almost nothing. And it's so convenient because this is a Bluetooth device. You put the tracker app on your phone, and then it knows where your tracker is. It actually gives you a map. When you launch the tracker app, it'll give you a map and says, here's where your keys are. So you can see that it sees that my keys are right here. Whoops. And I called it backpack because the keys are attached to the backpack. You can name it anything you want. They even make a waterproof tracker enclosure. So if you wanted to put this on a pet, you could actually use it on a pet collar. Now you can get them engraved because they're anodized aluminum. You can even get them printed with great. See, I have a tracker here that's got the Twit logo printed on it. And this is kind of a new technology. I think it's called UV printing. It's really cool. It's really on there, right? It's not painted on. It's not a sticker. It's really on there. Notice, though, the tracker has a little button on it. You press that button, and that rings your phone. Even if your phone's silenced, it says, hey. So it's a dual separation alert. The other thing I really like about the tracker, as far as I know, this is one of the few Bluetooth tracking devices that it has a replaceable battery. So you can easily replace it with one of those dime-sized lithium batteries. I think it's something 16. It's a CR, 2016? Easily replaced. It should last about a year. Your phone can track about 10 trackers at once. And I love this. because of the tracker's crowdsourced GPS network. So many people have trackers, 1.5 million trackers in the wild, that whenever anybody with the tracker software walks by your tracker, see, it knows about my trackers, but the software will say, oh, I see a tracker, and ping the software on the other guy's phone and say, your keys were spotted. So you, it really expands the range of the tracker remarkably. Go to thetracker.com. You'll never lose anything again. You can get the beautiful new printed trackers. I love those. Or get your dog's name and phone number engraved on the tracker, whatever. We're going to give you 30% off your entire order, including engraving, if you use Tech Guy as the offer code. I love these things. And I'm going to put, I've decided to put these in my luggage when I travel, because that'll be really handy. So everywhere, I'm going to have trackers everywhere. Anything that I could get separated from, my carry-on, my checked luggage, my wallet, everywhere. There's so little and light. It's so easy. TheTracker.com, promo code TechGuy for 30% off your entire tracker order. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Hour number 3 of the Tech Guy program underway. Phone number, I don't know why I'm giving it out. We're having trouble with the phones. I think maybe we got it working. Thanks to Joe Talbot, the great Joe Talbot of the Telos Alliance. He helps us with our Axia, wonderful Axia studio equipment. And I think Joe might have figured out how to. We're going to. Joe is like Scotty in Star Trek, you know. Well, the dilithium crystal's a crack, but I think they've patched around it and I might have a way for the phones to work. Do you think they're working? Should I try it? I got a Telos VX over here, and I'm not afraid to use it. I'll try Brian in Fairview. Let's see if it's working. Hi, Brian.
How are you doing?
Oh, Scotty, you did it. I'm great. How are you, Brian?
Well, I'm hanging in like a hair in a biscuit.
Well, are you from Texas?
I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, same thing. I mean, not same thing, obviously. Sorry that you're the volunteer state. Ouch. I know the difference. Ouch. I know. Ouch. I know. But in terms of country witticisms... another fertile source of great country witticisms.
Oh, wait, we have.
I've been to Pigeon Forge. I know.
Well, after your comment about the apple, I'm scared to ask my question.
No. This was off the air. I'm just saying I'm getting a little tired of Apple's shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? How about those AirPods? Are you all excited about buying those new wireless headphones for $169?
I can say this. After the first 30 minutes and they were still talking about Pokemon and and the other guy.
I'm excited about Pokemon Go on the Apple Watch. I'm excited about that.
Well, I will have no comment on that one. But anyway,
you know, the truth is, there's a lot of chatter going on right now about I see people saying things like, well, how can you know you buy every phone, you use every phone, you'd only use it for a few months? How can you claim to review phones? Well, that's kind of my job. I don't, believe me, it's not like I relish this. And incidentally, I don't get free loaners, so I do feel your pain. I spend right. Tens of thousands of dollars a year on these phones, and I use them as long as I can. I try to use them for at least a month before passing judgment on them. I will take Correct. This iPhone 7 Plus with me on vacation and take a lot of pictures, and I'm excited about the camera. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Well, here's what's going on. I'm a longtime user of the iPad. Love the iPad. Use it in work.
I'm going to take an iPad Pro with me on the trip as well. Yep.
Yep, that's the one I use. I love it to death. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly transportable.
One of our employees is a masterful artist. So, and the 12.9 inch was a little bit too big for me. So I gave him the big one, and I bought the 9.7. And I find that's really my sweet spot. It's a beautiful iPad, and I love the pencil. I love the speakers on that. I think that is one of the exciting things about the new iPhone 7 is they're going to have stereo speakers. Anyway, your iPad?
Anyways,
yes.
So the iPad got me into the Apple world, and that's been years. However, 6 months ago, I finally bought the bullet. I guess I'm all Apple. I do not do Windows after, oh, my gosh, 56. I've been in IT 35 years. So what's that leave for how long?
You've suffered long enough.
Windows.
You've suffered long enough.
Right. So started with a Mac Mini in the house. I work from home. I'm an IT guy. Now I have a MacBook Pro so that I can sit in the coffee shop.
Nice.
And I'm it is not as good as the fluff you see on the shows, but it's not as bad as what Windows people say. But anyway.
No, I really, and I'll tell you why a lot of IT people and pros use the Mac is because you have a bash command line. You have a full, underneath the hood, you have a full Unix compatible operating system. So a lot of the tools IT guys want to use, especially the command line tools, are available.
Right. And it's funny you should say that because I'm a Unix admin. But
well, there you go. Then this is a good choice for you.
Here's where I messed up. My boss, while I was doing a demo on one of our department meetings, noticed I had Mac in the background.
Uh-oh.
And so now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to take care of all the issues with people with Macs.
Drat!
Suddenly, I'm the expert on Macs. And I'm like, I'm not, but I'm getting there. Obviously, you can take a lot of your Windows knowledge and take all the concepts and transpose them over to Mac.
Well, and a lot of your Unix knowledge will be useful under the hood because it is essentially BSD under the hood.
Yeah, but that's what I'm looking for. I've started with, and this all came from your show. This is all your show is watching your show now is all picked up because of this.
Okay.
Tidbits and take control books are
excellent.
Stuff I've been into.
Excellent.
But I need the next step to what do I need to hit? Or I don't know if it's certification. I don't know what the resources are available.
There are certifications for IT managers who have to support Macintoshes. Apple has quite a bit of information online, too. One of the advantages from your point of view of Macintoshes, it's not widely used. Apple's always had to live in a Windows world, so they've kind of gone the extra mile in supporting people like you because they would love to get more Macs in enterprise. So right. There's a lot of supportive stuff online from Apple. And Microsoft, now, to be fair, does similar stuff in their support
site. Yeah, but for now, there's no budget. They're not going to send me any training.
No. But you could
on my own for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the resources are.
Yeah, and as I said, Apple's a good start. What and by the way, iTunes U has courses for free as well. What is your pain point? What do you want to learn?
Well, I've just reached that point where everything I'm getting from Tidbits, Take Control, I need that next level of
it. Yeah, those are aimed at users. Yeah, you want basically because you're a Unix sysadmin, you're going to feel very comfortable if you start going under the hood of an Apple. I think you could actually use most of the admin tools that you would use on a BSD or a Linux box. You'll find. I would look at Mac ports. Or Homebrew, my favorite's Mac ports. If you've ever used the port system on BSD or on Gentoo Linux, you'll understand what that is. And ports make all the Linux tools, all the Unix tools, I'm sorry, not Linux, all the Unix tools available to you in a very simple fashion. So Mac, first place go is Mac ports. That's for tools. And, you know, you're going to suddenly say, I'm right at home under the hood. I think you're going to understand everything that's going on. The good news, by the way, is Apple is moving to a more modern file system. One place that both Microsoft and Apple have been way behind on is file systems. Both of them are using decades-old file systems. Apple has announced and expects next year to introduce APFS, the new Apple file system, which will be very similar to ZFS. And that's going to be, for you, a revolution because your disk data is going to, the integrity of data is going to be so much better. And you're going to have snapshots and all sorts of ways to restore a system. It's huge. So look forward to that. I think the Apple documentation is a great place to start.
Okay.
Yeah, I would
bet. You said iTunes as well. And then
iTunes U, which is different. Apple separated iTunes from iTunes U. iTunes U is university content or course content available through an iTunes format. And it's on your iTunes, but you have to turn it on. There's a checkbox. iTunes is so horrible. You can also download an iTunes U app on your iPad. That's probably what I would do because then you can watch and participate in courses in a variety of Mac maintenance utilities. There are places to learn that cost money, but I think all the stuff on iTunes U is free. All the Apple resources are free. I think if you want to get deep into the Mac, those are great places to start. There are books out there, but not a lot, because Apple's really aimed the Mac at kind of IT-less environments. So the theory is, oh, you're not going to need an IT guy. But, of course, you always do.
Right.
You always do.
Well, sir, thank you. And, yeah. By the way, tell Heather she did a wonderful job dealing with the phones.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and it's all better now. Thanks, Heather. And thanks to Joe Talbot there at Telos. Thank you, Brian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Busier than a one-armed paper hanger in a room full of cats with rocking chairs or something. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Back to the phones we go, and my eyesight's getting worse. It looks like Tim in Temecula. Nicely alliterative. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
I have an Asus tablet. It's a T100 that I upgraded from Windows 8 to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And since upgrading to Windows 10, I have no Wi-Fi driver. I did Google the problem, and from what I can tell, the resolve is to get online, which I can't do on my Asus, or download a driver in Windows, but my laptop is a Mac.
Oh, thank you, Microsoft. So it is the Broadcom Wi-Fi adapter, and apparently, it's weird that Windows 10 wouldn't have an appropriate driver for it. The good news is you can get it from Asus, as you say. Let's see, how are you going to install it? Because you don't have a floppy, you don't have a CD, you don't have, USB key. There you go. So, do you have a USB key you can line around?
Yes, like a thumb drive.
Yeah, thumb drive, and the Asus has a USB port.
Yes.
Oh, good. Hallelujah! So you can actually download it on a Mac.
Oh, I can. Okay.
Yeah, and put it on a thumb drive. I'm just looking at what's involved here. Does it need to be bootable? Probably not. Normally what happens with drivers, you put it on a disk that can be read by the PC. So format it FAT32 on a PC if it's not already. It probably is. Most thumb drives are. That means the Mac and the PC can read it. Download the file you need. It's the Asus T100 driver package. And you want to make sure you get the Windows 10 one. And then all you have to do is copy that file as downloaded to the USB key and then go over to the Asus and install the new drivers from there. So I don't think that that's going to be a big deal. Do you know how to install drivers on the Asus? Hello? Oh, I think we're losing calls again. Anyway, you can find instructions to that on the internet, asus.com/support. They'll explain how you do that. It used to be that downloading a file on a Mac sometimes corrupted the file in a way that the Windows couldn't use it. Those days are long gone. It's just like downloading it anywhere else. The only hitch at all is the file format. You need to make sure that you're using FAT32 or some form of FAT that both Apple and Windows can read. Moving on, let's see if Stephen, you're coming up in a second. Clinton in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Clinton. My greatest fear has been realized. They're still not working. I'm going to try one more, see if it'll work. Jose in New Orleans. Are you there, Jose? All right, I'm putting you all back on hold. And Heather. Oh, Heather.
Mark.
Heather, I'm going to put this on
you.
Margie,
are you there?
Yeah, they're not. I can't.
You can take Margie. For some reason, line two is working.
Line two works. All right. Hi, Margie.
Yes.
It works. Congratulations, Margie. You're the lucky winner of line two.
I know. I don't want to drop. I want you to help me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This started about 3 days ago on email. When you want to compose an email or forward something, you put the first letter of the person you're sending.
It's called autocomplete. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think they pick it up from your contact list. Well, all of a sudden, about 3 days ago, I am getting I'll get the first one, the person that I know, but instead of all my other ones, I'm getting about 7 or 8 from the world. I don't know who.
Who are these people, and why are they in my email? Which email program are you using?
Well, I assume it's Yahoo Mail.
Okay, so you're using your web browser to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's Yahoo Mail, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was told. Well, you know, because I have AT&T, but that's just my internet connector. But I'm sure it's, yeah, matter of fact, it is. It's Yahoo Mail.
So Yahoo Mail preserves email addresses that you send mail to or emails that you respond to. And I'm not sure where these extra ones came from. But if you do type the first letter R and the first person's correct, but then you see a bunch of people from Russia or whatever, if you hover your mouse, I don't know. Thank you, Yahoo Mail, another fine company that's going out of business. If you hover your mouse over the unwanted contacts in the suggestions list, you'll see an X at the right.
I know, but
you don't want to delete hundreds of them, right?
Because as many as I do, they keep coming. I mean, I feel like I'm going to delete the whole planet. I'm not kidding. It's horrible. And then you know, okay, then I'll keep doing that. I'll put another one of mine.
Yeah, and then a whole bunch of them will appear, huh?
Yeah, then it's 6 or 7 more that I've got to delete. Isn't there something to, what started it?
You can, I don't know. That's not good, obviously.
No, it's horrible. It's a nightmare.
I'm not really sure why it's suddenly appearing there. Yahoo has, sad to say, basically crumbled into a pile, and they were sold for a pittance, a mere $4 billion to Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Verizon at this point will put any money into Yahoo Mail is unknown. My suspicion is not. In other words, it ain't going to get better. You can go into your browser get rid of those. Which browser are you using? You're on Windows. Are you using Internet Explorer, do you know?
Or? Foxfire.
Oh, I love Firefox. Okay.
Firefox, yeah.
Uh-huh. So
yeah, that's what I'm using.
You can delete Firefox. All the stuff is stored in the Firefox password manager. I think you can delete them there. But here's what I'm going to suggest. Mm-hmm. Might be time to say goodbye to Yahoo Mail. I know, because you gave that address to everybody. That's how they reach you, right?
So
what I'm going to suggest you do, and this will fix it, by the way, is set up a free Google Mail account, Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And after you set it up, you can tell Gmail, it's in the settings, to get the mail whenever it comes in from your Yahoo Mail.
Oh.
So your mail that's sent to your Yahoo address will still come to you. It'll come to you both in Yahoo Mail and in Gmail. You can respond to it in Gmail where you aren't going to get all this extra stuff.
Yeah.
And now, initially, you won't get much stuff at all because Gmail doesn't know who you talk to, but it'll slowly populate as you respond to people.
Okay.
So something's gone wrong in Yahoo Mail. The real problem is something's gone wrong at Yahoo.
Yeah, that's what it has to be because it was perfect before, and then all of a sudden this started.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happened. It's in theory, the idea is it collects that mail from those completion addresses from addresses that you send mail to. So obviously you haven't sent mail to those people. So something got damaged. Don't know what. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Not sure where Firefox stores the autocomplete stuff. I have to mess around with it. But there's something wrong. And it's Yahoo Mail. It's kind of been going downhill for a while. Control whether Firefox automatically fills forms. Yeah, you could turn off the autocomplete. That's true. You can't turn that off in Firefox. But your best bet is continue to use Firefox and start using Gmail. Firefox won't autofill Gmail because it'll say you're on a different page. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. So which lines, Heather, which lines work? Should I take another call on line three? All right. Let's try it. I'm willing to try it. I'm a brave soul here.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Let's go to Steven in Rancho Cucamonga. Oh, crud.
Hello.
I'll talk to you. That's fine.
Okay.
Is it Uni in San Diego? Am I right?
Yoni. Yoni, like Tony, but with Y.
Like Sony with a Y. Yoni.
No, like Tony. Like Tony, T, T. Tony with Y. Yoni.
Tony with a... Hi, Yoni. Yeah. How are you?
My name's Tony. That's it. How are you?
I'm great. What can I do for you?
Okay. Good here. I heard you a long time ago talking about the Nexus, how much you like them. And then for a while, I didn't hear you talking anymore about Nexus.
Well, that's just Leo's. That's a problem with Leo because he moves on. Every 3 months, a new phone.
Well, meantime, my life depends on you because I'm waiting for you to
So I'm holding the Nexus. You're talking about for phones, right? Because they also make Nexus tablets. But you're talking about the Nexus phone?
Oh, only the phone. Yeah. Because of you, I bought Nexus 4, and I knew that Apple coming.
Nice. Did you like it? Are you happy with it?
I love it. But... I want to buy either the 6P or the 5 Plus, and I was hoping that when you talk about the iPhone, the new iPhone, that maybe A, prices will go down, and B, what do you think the 6P phone versus 5X Nexus?
I like the 6P better. It's got a better camera, longer battery life, bigger screen. So the one I have is the 6P. And I love it. If it's not too big for you. But I should tell you, Yoni, they're going to come out with new phones next month.
The Nexus?
Well, Google has dropped the... We think Google's going to drop the name Nexus and use the name Pixel instead. But it's the same idea. It's an Android phone from the mother of Android, Google itself.
Yes.
And I tell you why I prefer to get my phones from Google. Google patches these guys, and they patch whenever there's a security flaw, they're going to fix it. Just like Apple fixes its phones and Microsoft fixes its operating system, Google fixes it. There's a very nasty Android flaw out there right now. And even, you know, Samsung, LG, and Google are the only companies that have committed to fixing it. And so I think it's really important that you get a phone from a company that's going to keep it safe. And Google's the only company I know of that's guaranteed that. So you will notice a price drop. If it not, they actually dropped the price quite a bit over the last couple of months on the 6P. If you go to store.google.com, you can buy it directly from Google. But if you wait too much longer, they're going to probably run out because they've got a new one coming. And it may be worth waiting till early October. We think October 4th is when they'll announce the Pixel. We think it'll be the Pixel. Will be the same as the 5X in size, and the Pixel XL, which will be the same as the 6P in size. I expect the pressure's on Google to improve these phones to the point where they're as good as the Samsung phones. Right now, the best Android phones are made by Samsung. And Google needs, it's going to be HTC making these phones. They're a very, very good company. They make great phones. They'll be making them to Google's specifications. So it's fine right now if you want to get a 6P. This is probably the lowest price the 6P will ever be sold at if you get it today.
Okay.
And get it from Google probably is the best thing to do. And
that's
then
what I always do. I have all my thing from Google. I always buy from Google. I never bought, I'm sorry, Apple. I apologize.
No, I don't hear it. Just you.
Android system, yeah. Yeah.
$499, which is about, I think, $100 or $200 less than it sold for originally. So that's a good price. I think it's a very nice phone, but I think that the next generation, they'll make some improvements. So don't be mad at me.
I'm happy with you with 4 Nexus 4.
You'll be a big upgrade from the Nexus 4. If you like the Nexus 4, you'll love the 6P. And they have a fingerprint reader now, which makes it much more secure, much more secure. I think you're going to like it.
Good. Could I tell you something?
Sure.
When I used to listen to Jeff Levine for years.
Oh, the old, he was the PC guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you came, and then you came along, and my transition was at the beginning a little bit hard.
I know, because I'm no Jeff Levy. I know.
But on the other hand, you added so many other things that he did not.
Right.
So today I do not miss Saturday or Sunday your radio show.
Yoni, bless you. Bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for giving me a chance.
You're welcome.
12 years ago.
Long time ago.
2004, yeah. And Jeff has passed away since, by the way. Rest in peace. He was a good friend and a very good host.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So no knock on Jeff Levy, but he talked about PCs. He was literally the PC guy.
Yes.
And when the wonderful Robin Bertolucci, who runs KFI and was running it then, said, would you like to take over the show? But here's the catch. We don't want you just to talk about PCs. We want to talk about Macs and whatever else. And I said, well, of course, I love talking about everything, phones.
It was a good idea. And you also explain very clear to people who are not really high-tech situation, and you're very patient with everyone that doesn't have the knowledge. So I appreciate that.
Well, bless you for your very kind words. Thank you. And I think if you get the 6P, you will not be disappointed.
Thank you very much, Leo.
Okay, Yoni. Take care. All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I should bring this up. I meant to mention it. We were swamped with Apple news and the Note 7 news. But there is a severe Android flaw out there that isn't even patched yet on the 5X. And won't be, by the way, patched, Yoni, on your Nexus 4 because it's so old. Google puts out monthly patches now. And the September patch, when that comes out, we'll fix this. But until then, this is a nasty flaw that allows somebody to send you a specially crafted JPEG image, for instance. This is another reason why opening attachments is so dangerous, even clicking on links and texts, so dangerous, that could take over your phone. And we don't want that to happen. So the good news is if you get a phone from Google, you're going to get the updates the minute they're available. Google pushes them to the Nexus phones and the next generation Pixel phones first, as soon as they can. And then what happens, they put that information out, Samsung and LG, and I would hope other Android manufacturers would take that information. They have to modify it, because remember, all these companies change Android just slightly to make it their own. So they've got to figure that out, and they've got to modify it, and then they push it out. And by the way, they got to get it past carriers, and it's a mess. Most Android devices will never be updated. If you want to know what update you have on your phone, on your Android device, go to settings and the About Phone setting. It's the last one as you scroll all the way down, and you can see which version. For instance, on mine, this is a 6P, and the current patch level, the Android security patch level, is August 5th, 2016. So I am vulnerable to this exploit that's out there. We haven't heard of it in the wild yet. Well, actually, I take that back. I think there is malware on the Play Store. So the first line of defense, the best line of defense, is to update the operating system. But you should know that Google also scans Play Store apps and scans downloads. And when they find a problem like this, they know what to look for. And so they're going to block you from downloading it. So another setting that's really important keep turned on is do not download from other stores besides the Google Play Store, at least until this patch comes out. And if you don't have a phone that's getting patched, next Android phone, first of all, get a new one and make sure it's one that will get patched. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's a mess. Gizwiz coming up. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, the reinvented mortgage process from Quicken Loans. We really love Quicken Loans. I think they're the biggest, certainly one of the best mortgage lenders in the country. And they know that there are people who listen to this show, for instance, who are digital natives who want to do everything online. You talk to people, a lot of people say, no, I really want to go in and talk to the mortgage broker. And I remember 3 years ago we bought our house. The mortgage broker has a sheaf of papers like this big. I mean, just huge. And he had, they get printed out every day. And he's going through them. He licks his thumb and goes, let me see. I'll look. Oh, here's one rate. He's looking for a good rate. This is crazy. In a piece of paper, little tiny print that he printed out today. That's how most of them do it. Rocket Mortgage said no. You know, we have computers now. We're not back in the 19th century. So if you go to quickenloans.com/techguy, quickenloans.com/techguy, you can find out about Rocket Mortgage. The entire process is online. quickenloans.com/techguy. Do it all online, including, you know, bank statements, pay stubs, all with a touch of a button. Not even a click of a mouse, because you can do this on your phone or your tablet, too. Can you imagine applying for a refi or a home loan over your phone without calling anybody, without visiting anybody? Just do it all online. And because it's online, you can get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution tailored to your particular situation. Look at all the awards. Highest in customer satisfaction in the U.S. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. I'm sure it'll be 2016. These guys are great. QuickenLoans.com/TechGuy. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Why go into a loan broker when you can do it all online with Quicken Loans? Rocket Mortgage. QuickenLoans.com/TechGuy. You may find yourself on the Tech Guy radio program. Talking about gadgets and gizmos, you may find the Gizwiz. Hey, Dick DiBartolo, the Gizwiz, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Good to see you once again. I'm going to give you a plug.
Yes, 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 you will.
Everybody knows you and loves you. Not everybody. I was surprised because I've known this for years. Not everybody knows you saved the Match Game. The old Gene Rayburn Match Game was about to go out of business. They were about to be canceled.
Yes.
And they called you up and said, well, what do we got to lose?
Exactly.
Would you write some, because they were using straight questions. There was no comedy in it. Would you write some questions that are fun and funny?
Well, I was writing the straight ones. But then when
Goodson, you were?
Said, I was doing, yeah. And Goodson said, Dick, you can stop writing in 2 months. And over the weekend, I went
back.
Wait,
how did you, know, they made you write boring questions?
Well, that was the whole premise of the show. So that's what they hired me for. That's what I did.
Oh, that's a good premise. We'll ask some celebrities really boring questions with no
idea.
And then
name a red flower.
Oh,
name
terrible.
A president who appears on Money.
No wonder they were going to cancel it. Who wants to watch that? I don't care how silly Brett Summers is. It's not going to be that good.
No.
So you came back and started writing, you know.
Yeah, on a Monday I went and I said,
do you remember
your first one? I work for MAD. Oh, yeah, the very first question I ever wrote. I said to Mark, you know, we're doing these. I work for MAD. Let's do silly questions. He said, like what? I said, Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank. That was the very. And Goodson did exactly that. And then he said, well, what will people say?
They'll say pork chops.
They'll say mashed potatoes.
But they'll think
other
things.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's brilliant. Not only to save the Match Game, but the game now won't die.
No, it won't die.
You actually created a zombie. You can't kill it.
It's a zombie.
It's back again in prime time. You're not doing the prime time stuff, though.
I have nothing to do with it and make zero from anything.
Oh.
But that's okay.
You should get like a penny a question or something.
That'd be nice.
That'd be really. You don't even get like a residual check every once in a while.
No. When Match Game went to Game Show Network, I got a single check for $1.21. And I called and I said, so is this weekly? And they said, no.
That's it.
So it's framed and it's in my studio.
So that explains, because I have a 2 cent check here.
Oh, that was for the first kid.
I'm going to frame that.
There you go.
So, Dick, besides being a wonderful humorist and great comedy writer for many venues, not just Mad Magazine, is also a gadget hound and always brings us some fun gadgets. What do you got this week?
Yeah, you know, Leo, this is actually a very useful gadget I didn't know existed. And people who are buying very thin laptops and very thin Chromebooks might be interested to know about it. So I use the S7 when we talk, and I use
the lovely Asus laptop.
The Acer, I should say.
Acer S7.
Exactly. And I use it for the Gizwiz, and it's devoted just for
oh, nice.
broadcasting. And but I want it to be hardwired and you know, all these little laptops and stuff. You are wireless only. But they send you a little USB dongle that lets you hook up an Ethernet cable. The problem is it only has two USB ports. And I need a USB camera, and I need the USB mic, and I need a USB...
You need a dock.
Yes, exactly. So I'm thinking, why doesn't someone make a USB dongle that includes Ethernet and other USB ports?
Oh.
And I go to Google. Not only do they make it, it's $22.
Wow.
The company is called Inatec. I have it right here. Inatec.
Yeah, that's funny because, of course, Inotech was the name of the tech company in Office Space. And yes. This poor Inatec gets this all the time. They go, wait a minute, you mean from Office Space? No, no, we spell it Inatec. A. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I have one of these, actually. I love it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a week later, I go back and it says, we have an even newer one now made of aluminum.
Ooh.
And the only thing that the $22 one didn't have was the little lights to tell you that data is going up and down through the device, which I like having. And I go, well, how much is the new one? $3 more than you paid last. Yes, I bought them both.
So what is the name of this?
You know what? It's just the Inatec. If you go to easiest is my website again, and
gizwiz.biz.
Biz, and then click on the tech guy. They're both there. And you know what? I'm on their website. It's like impossible to find on their website.
It is. I'm looking.
Yes, they haven't named it anything.
It's the technology without an interesting name.
Yes, exactly. Yes. They must make 500 things. I haven't found it yet.
You know, hire somebody to write names for you. I think Dick's available. Hire somebody. Great names.
They need something.
Yeah, there it is.
Aluminum. It's got a very wonderful name on their website. I just found it. Aluminum hub and Ethernet adapter.
Yeah, I bought one of these because I have a MacBook and that has one port. And so I need.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this solves. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
So you lose the one port, but you gain three.
Yeah.
Plus you gain the Ethernet cable jack. So it's great. And it's cheap. And it's all aluminum. So it matches the Acer S7. I'm sure it matches your.
It does. It MacBook looks beautiful.
Silver.
Now, let me ask you, though. I think we need to. This is a new segment on this show. Dick's names for gadgets that have terrible names.
Yes.
The Inatec Unibody Aluminum 3-Port USB 3.0 Hub. That's not a good name.
No, it's not.
I need
AlumaHub.
AlumaHub. Thank you. There you go.
Ethernet AlumaHub.
Ethernet AlumaHub. I think I went to school with
her. Let's copyright that.
Ethernet AlumaHub. You see, this man, genius. All you have to do is go to gizwiz.biz. Not only is there the stuff he mentions on this show, which is under the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy, the What the Heck Is It contest is a lot of fun. Close-up pictures of gadgets and gizmos. You got two ways to win. You can come up with the best funny name, wrong name, or you can come up with the right name, and he's got autographed Mad magazines. I saw you signing a bunch to send out just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, we got a lot of winners last time.
Yeah. See, I think that's what Apple does so well. They come up with AirPods.
Yeah, that's good.
They
that's
come up good. With names. Yeah. I think the AlumaHub, man, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, Dick. Dick does a great podcast.
Okay,
if you like gadgets, the GizWiz podcast at gizwiz.tv. And we'll see you next week, Dick. With another
super. Thank you so.
Gadget. Thank you. Hey, I'm kind of sad today. You know, every weekend we've been talking about the great musical selections of our musical director Nathan Staton, and apparently Nathan's taking his baton elsewhere. So, so thank you, Nathan, for doing such a great job for us. Welcome, Michael, our new musical director. I hope Nathan will pass the baton on to you. Thanks to Heather Hammond for a tough phone situation. Did a great job. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. See you next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.